Thank you. You may be seated. And good morning to everyone. We will start this morning with introductions from court. I'm Mike Hadakin, the Chief Justice, and now by order of seniority as to service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller Lerman.
William Castle, good morning.
Stephanie Stacy, good morning.
Jeff Funk, good morning.
Jonathan Papik, good morning.
And John Frydenberg.
Thank you, my fellow justices. Before we get started today, just a few items for everybody's information. Justice Frydenberg is recused on is now the last two cases today, and he will be placed by Judge Terry Harder from the 10th Judicial District, District Court Judge from the 10th Judicial District, and Justice Funk is recused from the very last case of the day, State versus Betancourt Garcia, and Judge Masteller from Omaha, District Court Judge, will be joining us on that last case of the day. And apparently State versus Keedle is now going to be postponed till our next oral arguments next month. Counsel and everybody in the courtroom, we appreciate your wearing mask when you are not presenting to the court. When you are presenting to the court, please take your mask off so that we can hear and understand what you have to say. And with that, the first case of the day is Scalise versus Davis. Mr. Abrahamson, you may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. Members of the court, my name is Hugh Abrahamson. May it please the court. I'm going to start out kind of in a ridiculous situation. Let's say, for example, someone is charged with murder. And for some reason or another, that gets dismissed or it gets reduced to disturbing the peace. Okay? And then that person goes and applies for a handgun permit. And the sheriff in Sarpy County says, no. You've been charged with murder. You don't get to apply for a handgun. We're not going to give you one. Well, basically, that's the same thing that we have here. Obviously, we're not dealing with murder. We're dealing with an individual that was initially charged with domestic violence.
Counsel, he was convicted of that, of a charge, is that correct?
No, he was not convicted of that.
Of a charge.
He was convicted of a charge of simple assault.
Third degree assault,
which did not include the criteria of domestic violence. And as such, when the gentleman entered his plea to simple assault, he was advised by the court that there would be certain conditions for his probation, part of which would be that while he was on probation, he would not have the ability to obtain or have a gun. That was not explained to him that after the probation was over and done, that prohibition against the gun was also to carry forward. That was not done.
Why is that critical?
Well, I think it's critical for a couple of reasons. Number one, it would have a bearing on an individual as to whether or not they're going to enter a plea to something, assuming that a gun is important to them. Now, I've got to tell you the truth. I think there's too many guns in this country. There are more guns than there are people. That's not the issue here. The issue is there a criteria set forth by statute where if you commit a particular type of crime, you're not entitled to a gun? But if you're not convicted of that type of a crime, that prohibition against a gun is not applicable.
There's two different ways someone could commit third degree assault, correct? It could be either intentional, knowing, or recklessly causing bodily injury or threatening someone in a menacing manner.
Correct.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Do we know in this case which of those two ways in which the statute could be violated Mr. Scalise was convicted of?
The answer, I believe, is no, and neither did the sheriff of Sarpy County. The sheriff of county, sheriff of Sarpy County, all it had before it was the fact that this gentleman had been charged with domestic violence and then pled. That case was dismissed against him in exchange for him pleading guilty or no contest to simple assault. That's exactly what happened.
Did the sheriff rightly or wrongly go back and look at the police reports?
I'm sorry?
When the sheriff was making his review of this, did it rightly or wrongly go back and look at the police reports?
You know what? I have no idea. But again, it would make no difference, because the bottom line is, what did the man plead guilty to? What was the charge that he was found guilty of?
Do we know what he pled guilty to?
Yes, sir.
How do we know that?
The record is very clear. He pled guilty to simple assault.
Do we have the transcript from the plea hearing, the factual basis provided by the prosecutor, any stipulation as to factual basis consented to by Mr. Scalise?
I don't know the answer to that.
If I tell you it's not in our record, does that cause any issues to us reaching the issues before the court?
You know what? I honestly don't think so, because if the issue, if you're not aware of the issues, then all you can do is go by the fact that he was initially charged with domestic violence. That went away, and he was convicted and pled guilty to simple assault.
Who has the burden of proof before the county court to show that the denial of the handgun was proper or improper?
I would think that the sheriff would have that duty, that burden of proof.
Who brings the action in county court?
Obviously, it was the appellant in this case.
So is it the appellant, the movement?
The movement. He was denied permit for a handgun, so therefore he brought a case before this county court of Sarpy County. That was denied. He appealed and went up to the district court in Sarpy County. It was also denied. That's why we're here.
What could the county court look at as far as evidence or records to determine whether Mr. Scalise was convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence?
I think they got to look at the record. He did not, he was not convicted of a domestic violence crime. He was convicted of simple assault. I mean, it's just black and white in that respect.
Does it inform this analysis to simply look at the statutory language of 28.310, third degree assault, as compared to the federal provision that's allegedly being applied in Chapter 18? Is the physical force in the federal law the same as bodily injury in the state law?
Nebraska Revised Statute 28.323, subsection 8, deals with an order of domestic violence must include that being with an intimate partner, which is not the case here, a spouse, which is also not the case, a former spouse, also not the case, or persons who have a child in common, also not the case.
I may not have been clear, and I may be poorly informed, but I was attempting to compare the statute 28.310 for third degree assault and its elements as compared to the federal statute, physical force. Is physical force in the federal law the same as bodily injury in the state law?
Got to tell you the truth, I don't know. All I can do is tell you the difference between, in Nebraska, the difference between simple assault and section 28-323, subsection 8, which I believe parrots the federal statute, but I could be wrong. And that requires domestic violence to include an intimate partner, spouse, former spouse, or persons who have a child in common. In this particular case, We're talking about a gentleman who was allegedly dating this woman and attempted to have sex, and she said no. And that happened a couple of times.
What's the predicate offense that he was convicted of?
Pardon?
What's the predicate offense for which Mr. Scalise was convicted of?
Then he assaulted the lady, period.
Do we know how, though? Do we know it's by physical force or by threatening in a menacing manner? Do we know the manner in which he was convicted of the offense?
No. All I do know for a fact.
Suggest that the standard of review in this case should be de novo on the record.
I think by looking at the statute itself and looking at
69-2406?
I believe so, yes.
Where in that statute does it say anything about the appellate procedure in the county court? Where does it say anything about what the county court should consider, about what sort of relief the county court may give, and even about whether an appeal can be taken from the county court's decision?
Well, I think you can always take an appeal when there's a final order, and there was a final order by both the county court and also the district court.
Is there anything else in the statute that gives us guidance on what that appeal procedure in the county court involves?
I don't know. I think what it boils down to is this, though. Does the sheriff of Sarpy County have the right to write its own laws? Does the sheriff of Sarpy County have the right to interpret the law as it sees fit when the law itself is black and white?
If the court is confronted with construing a statute that gives rise to an appeal to the county court, but no procedure is set out for that appeal, what procedure governs?
I think, again, going back to the fact that there was a final order, and as such, it makes it an appealable issue. I think that's the answer.
Is this a civil judgment entered by the county court?
I don't believe it was a civil judgment. Well, I don't know.
It's not a criminal matter.
It's not a criminal matter. It was civil. I would agree with that.
And it's a final order, and we've said that it's a judgment.
Mr. Abrahamson, is your argument that nobody in this process, the sheriff or the county court or this court, can look at the facts underneath the charge that it was either initially filed or that your client ultimately pled to?
That's correct, Judge. I'll go back to my initial statement. Someone gets charged with murder. They're either found not guilty or it's reduced to simple assault or disturbing the peace. Let's make it disturbing the peace. That person now applies for a gun permit, and the sheriff says, man, you were charged with murder. We're not going to give you a handgun. We're not going to give you that permit. That's what it really boils down to. Yeah.
Is it fair to say when your client entered his plea, he entered a plea to assaulting this named person, but he did not admit or confess the extra element that she was a intimate partner or any of those other definitions?
Correct, and he was never charged under the...
Well, he was charged.
He was charged, but...
But that's not what he admitted to.
That is correct.
And the prior charge really has no impact on this determination, does it?
That is correct. Thank you.
Counsel, with the chief's permission.
Is the prohibition on obtaining a gun an issue of federal law or state law?
I'd say it's both. Obviously, the federal government gets guidance, but I think the state follows that guidance, but it also has different criteria. For example, Texas has eliminated all requirements as far as guns are concerned. Obviously, Nebraska is different.
The federal statute that defines misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, isn't that really what we're looking to? Does he fit into that statute?
No, sir, because that's not what he pled guilty to. That case, that charge was dismissed. He entered a plea to simple assault. That's what you need to look at.
But aren't the people that were convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, those are the folks that would be prohibited from having a gun?
Correct.
And hasn't the U.S. Supreme Court interpreted how that definition works?
I believe so. But again, we're not dealing with somebody that, other than being charged with domestic violence, he did not enter a plea to that. That charge against him was dismissed, and it was simple assault then, Judge.
Well, I'm looking at the Hayes case that the county court referred to, and apparently the U.S. Supreme Court distinguished between elements, and I would agree with you that the domestic violence is not an element of third degree assault, but the statute goes on to say committed by a current or former spouse, parent, or so on, against someone. And the U.S. Supreme Court said that that part doesn't have to be an element. Do you agree with that?
Well, I'm not here to argue against the United States Supreme Court, okay? All I can say is, again, my client pled to simple assault.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to run on.
Thank you.
I won't reserve any time.
Well, thank you again. I don't believe we have anyone, an appellee actually here. We have no one file brief. So that concludes arguments in Scalise versus Davis. You are excused, Mr. Abrahamson. Thank you very much. The court will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Burries. And the court will be joined by District Court Judge Harder.